Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and back with us again is Angie Setcher, the goddess of grains, the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator, and also the one who stands me up all the time. Angie, what's up, honey? Like all the other women in my life, how are you?
Oh, I am great. I'm back in the great state of Iowa. We've been gone. We traveled for 8 days, and then it took 3 days to get back into the routine, I guess, but even then I don't know. Travel always sounds like a great idea until you're gone, but here I am.
I agree that travel sucks. How come you flew to Iowa though? I mean, from Chicago to Iowa, how come you didn't drive it? Just out of curiosity.
We flew to my parents on Thanksgiving. My parents are in central Michigan. So we drove up to Minneapolis, flew to Lansing, and then took the train to Chicago from Battle Creek, and flew out of Midway back to Chicago. Okay. So it was kind of one of those disjointed sort of get-togethers. That, and with an 18-month-old, it's much easier to just drive a couple hours to the airport, and then he can hang out with us the rest of the time, you know, versus him sitting in the car seat for 7 hours or whatever. Because we're quite a ways away. We're 7 hours from Chicago.
Gotcha.
Because we didn't settle in the Quad Cities. We're up in practically in Minnesota.
you're in Chicago for a women's women in agriculture. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. It was the Executive Women in Ag Conference put on by Farm Journal and Pro Farmer, Top Producer, the whole entire gamut right there. There's a big group of them. So. This is the fifth or sixth year they've had the conference. The fifth year that I've gone, one of my most favorite conferences to go to. It's really enjoyable. Good group of women, you know, come from all over the country and informative. We did U.S. Farm Report, of course, and I had a breakout session on, you know, what's going on in the marketplace and focusing on being profitable with your marketing plan and stuff like that. So it was a good time. 3 days in Chicago, and Chicago this time of year is always the best. I love Christmas time in Chicago.
So why is it women agriculture? Why is it just agriculture in general? What is it? What's separated to be women?
Well, it's one of those things where, and we've seen it, or I've seen it firsthand actually, where you tend to struggle to get women to ask questions. I mean, it's difficult for some of them. You know, some are farm wives that may handle all of the accounting and stuff like that. But when it comes to the actual production side or the contracting, you know, the marketing side or something like that, they may not be involved and they feel uncomfortable asking their husband a question or something like that. And every other conference out there is open to all genders, but it does tend to be heavily male dominated in our industry. I always say that the best thing about being a woman in agriculture is there's no line at the bathroom when you go to a conference, you know, because it is very, very male dominated. So it's nice sometimes to be able to get together and kind of commiserate with each other and share some, you know, shared experiences or talk about the shared experiences. And then, of course, to make them feel comfortable to where they can ask the question and not be, you know, not feel as though it was a dumb question to ask or something like that. So it's just always been, like I said, one of those more enjoyable get togethers just because, you know, of course there's lots of wine and lots of conversation and just things like that. So it is, it's, like I said, there's a lot of conferences that are going on and that will be happening all winter long that are open to everyone, but they're heavily male dominated. And then there's some smaller, I've spoke to a few men marketing groups, but of course in today's day and age, it's much easier to have a women's conference, a women only conference and not have that, what was it on Little Rascals, the women haters, whatever. That was always a fun, nowadays, if you were to try to have a conference and say only men were invited, of course that would fly like a lead balloon. So, and we're starting to see that happen in agriculture where people are starting to say, hey, do we really need a women's only conference? And so that's been a conversation we've actually seen happen here just recently, over the last couple months. But I enjoy it. I like to be, amongst, some like-minded, go-getting type women out there, and the conference was a good one.
So was it wine, W-I-N-E, or wine, W-H-I-N-E? Which wine did you serve there?
Yeah, have you seen the markets lately? It was a lot of both. So it was, but it was always nice. What's it going to take to get corn up? What's it going to take to get wheat up? Beans, of course, have rallied pretty substantially, or at least reasonably substantially here since the last time you and I had even talked. And so beans, no one really gets worried about, but that worries me because everyone seems to think they'll go on, go up forever kind of deal. But the conversation about what's going on in corn and wheat and, just basically the struggle to make money right now was a real one and a very prevalent one. And so, yeah, we had both types of wine pretty solidly for the 3 days we were there.
So, obviously, most of these women are more clerical for their husbands or for the farms they work for. Would that be? I mean, I know obviously women do more than that, but is that what you're saying here with this group?
There were a lot that were. There were several women that farm. They may farm on their own with their father. Maybe their husband is a partner in the farm that's with them and their father, or something of that nature. There were some women in banking. In the finance side, there were a lot of women there that were in the agronomic side as well. It's a very diverse group, but there were a lot of women that, they're married to a farmer, and this is their one time a year that they're able to get away and kind of spend the time learning as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time of year for farmers to get away. I mean, unless you're you're doing meats and things, you're kind of shut down right now, right?
Yeah. As long as you don't have livestock, you're pretty well wrapped up. And even with livestock this time of year, livestock's always a year round job, but it does slow up a little bit. They've been moved into their winter pastures or something like that. So you're able to escape. That's why you see a ton of conferences. That's why there's a lot of travel that's going on for everyone it used to be the time of year where everyone would get together and party. Of course, the fun is not as obvious. The crowd sizes are getting smaller. Some of these conferences are struggling with staying afloat simply because people can't afford to travel to Chicago for 3 days, like they used to be able to. And that's getting more obvious. I mean, of course, there's still some money in the industry, via seed sales and some of these industry groups still have plenty of stuff to offer to the crowd. The farmers love free stuff sort of deal,
we all love free stuff, but, and we love having the one who stands me up all the time, just like all the rest of the women, Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains and also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator here on the Bubba Show. And of course, make sure you check out patreon.com/BubbaTrading. We're trying to continue to raise awareness for high school kids and teach them financial literacy. And at this point, I can no longer handle it on my own. I need some help. So go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. In the meantime, go download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show every day as well as the Sporting Edge. We're going to stop by over a break. We'll be right back with more from Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz, coming right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. So you're in Chicago. You didn't say hello to me. You wouldn't meet me at the floor. okay, which is no big deal. You know, I get it, all that stuff. But so now what is the key of the conference? All right, is it to educate those, or is it to bring ideas aboard? What is the whole idea behind the conference?
It's to educate and bring ideas. So, you know, pretty much every agriculture conference that I've been to is a lot of the same. You have the booths, you know, people looking to sell things and network and stuff like that, you know, that everyone kind of hangs out around during cocktail hour. And then you have your speakers, some of which are meant to be, you know, encouraging or, you know, help you feel better about life, I guess you could say. And then there's a lot of marketing discussions or marketing education that's supposed to be out there and help. So it's kind of a three-pronged sort of deal. Most of it, though, is simply for networking. I mean, honestly, if you want to call a spade on what happens through most of these conferences, it's just getting together with people that you know or people that you haven't had a chance yet to meet and spending time, you know, talking to them about the things you have in common or the things that you, you know, are watching in the market structure or something like that. So, but yeah, a lot of it is supposed to be education based and just kind of, you know, make you a better person sort of deal when you leave, I guess.
Gotcha. So now there's a lot of these conferences and like, how many will you go to?
For me, I did the Executive Women in Ag. Next week I have to go to the Prairie Grains Conference in Grand Forks, North Dakota. After that, I'll be at the Great Lakes Crop Summit in Michigan the end of January. And yeah, that's about it. I mean, I don't really travel to a lot of them. I'm somewhat introverted anyway. So if someone wants me to come speak, I will. But if it comes down to just going to the conference and going to classes and stuff like that, I don't usually. I may go, my husband and I have talked about going to FC Stone. They have one in Vegas every March. That one, you know, has caught our attention, but at the same time, it's, you know, like I said before, it sounds good to go away for a few days, but then you get back and you're behind and you're wondering if it was worth it or not. So I'll go to a handful of them. But there's a plethora. I mean, there's a bunch. There's three or four different ones going on just this week, I think, two in Chicago, you know, two elsewhere. You know, it pretty much from the start of December through March, you'll see a conference or a meeting or something like that once a week. I mean, it's phenomenal, you know, how much we get together, I think, as an industry. But like I was saying before the break, it makes me wonder if we won't start to see that change here as you know, money starts to slow up and you have seen attendance start to drop. And so that's something that's concerning the folks that are putting them on, just because you spend, you know, tons of money to put something on. And if no one shows up or a few people show up, you know, you're not necessarily being able to provide you're getting anything out of it or prove that you're getting anything out of it anyway.
Right. Okay. So, but it is a lot of networking. And now does your business itself slow down now as well? Are you pretty quiet for the next few months or what's your schedule like now?
No, we actually, I mean, now that harvest is wrapping up, it'll slow up or it'll get back to normal. But we tend to get busy because we turn bushels into cash. So a lot of guys have to move grain. You know, they'll put it away, put it in the bin. Typically, we would slow up. This year, we were still harvesting during Thanksgiving. So typically, you slow up around Thanksgiving into the first couple weeks of December and then pick back up again. Year end's a little bit slower, at least for me, because I just take the time off. But on the accounting side, that gets busy. And then January, you know, January, February are pretty busy because that's when we're you know, kind of making that cash. Guys have bills to pay, stuff like that. Things slow up again March, April, May for planting, and then get busy again in the summer. So it's kind of, for us, it ebbs and flows, and a lot will depend on what the market's doing too and what guys have to do to generate that income as the year progresses.
And speaking of generating income, so the markets, you know, they're pretty quiet. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, beans are a little bit active. And no surprise, I mean, 985 seemed to be that key level you and I talked about. And they did pop from there. And, of course, they're back in the tens. Mm-hmm. But I know you and I are both, you know, not overly bullish soybeans. And, of course, they're the ones that are really acting bullish. But, of course, corn had a pretty good, decent run, you know, from 345 to 355. What's your take at the grain markets right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's much of the same. It's the same stuff. Right now, beans are rallying on Argentina. You know, there's some concern there that we've got some high-pressure systems building in. It's been dry. It looks to continue to be dry as we move ahead. You know, the thing that's weird with Argentina is there's some very, very it depends on who you speak to when it comes to how many beans the Argentinian farmer has on hand. So the USDA says, you know, there's 1.3 billion bushel left over at the end of their marketing year. Some people argue and say, well, no, that's like using June 1st stock. So really there's half of that at the end of the year, blah, blah, blah. And so you have this argument in the industry as to how many beans Argentina really has. They are responsible for 48% of the global crush, which is something, but there appears to be a very strong supply of beans available domestically that farmers have held on to as a hedge against currency and held on to because that's been the only thing that hasn't seen a reduction or a removal of an export tax down there. So they're still looking at, you know, 30% of the value of those beans are taxed when they go to export them and stuff like that. So the market has rallied as a result or a concern on Argentinian production, but no one's really paid attention to the fact that the Brazil production outlook has kind of started to grow a bit because the areas that were dry early on have seen rain, and the areas that were wet early on have seen dry enough conditions to where they were able to get the crop in. And so far, stuff looks good. Now, granted, it's their June, you know what I mean? It's late May, June down there. So the production, the vital production time frame for Brazil is a ways away. To me, though, the Argentina talk and the talk about, you know, what's going on in South America overall, when you look at Brazil, all of it points to, you know, potential reductions in corn supply globally. You know, Argentina had been the second largest corn exporter. We had seen them remove that export tax, so it had encouraged them to kind of step into the export market and be aggressive on that side. And then the Brazilian crop, corn crop outlook continues to shrink. You know, there are some estimates right now that it's 10 million metric ton or 400 million, a half a billion bushel almost below current USDA estimates. And that hasn't really gotten much attention. And maybe it has. Maybe that's why corn didn't go to $3 after the last USDA report that was, you know, everyone could agree was somewhat negative. So here we sit, you know, we really just kind of, we put the crop away. We've seen the cash market develop as it has, and we're just watching what's going on in South America. And with beans being the sweetheart of the market, I mean, it's been something that you could buy and see the market rally and take profit on and be happy with, and corn kind of being stuck in no man's land and wheat, of course, being wheat, it doesn't surprise me that we're seeing some buying interest research back into the bean market, and it's just a matter of, you know, it's like that Price is Right, the yodeler game or whatever, the cliffhanger where it keeps going up until it stops, you know, and that's how beans are, that's how they have been for the last 5 years and or more, and that's probably not going to change anytime soon, and unless China changes their overall policy, which at this point doesn't appear to be in the cards.
Nothing's ever for certain with China in their cards, because their cards are always marked. They got a marked deck they're playing with. But, you know, it's an interesting that, you know, the markets are, you know, been lulled to sleep. And it looks to me that the short sellers have been trying to pound these markets down. And I think what happened is you look at beans, they finally got worn out. And of course, then you get a little short squeeze rally. And I think that is probably in the cards, so to speak, for the others. But we're with Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains and also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. And as introverted as she is, she talks a lot, but you never know.
Yeah, I do.
And of course, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to bubbatraining.com and you know, get my update every day after the close. I email you a video about what I saw, what I'm looking for, and I do all products, including equities, grains, and livestock. And in the meantime, don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back with more from the goddess herself after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, are coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains on Twitter, and also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. Okay, Angie, so I mentioned something before we went to break, and I think a lot of the commercials are trying to push these grains around a little bit, and you know, it's slow markets, and they haven't been, I mean, they're down, but they haven't been all that successful in really trying to break them. And I think they're going to get trapped, and we're going to see, you know, who knows when, but a spin and a what will start out as a short covering rally and then end up being a bigger rally going forward. What are your thoughts?
You know, I can't argue with that. I mean, you look at the speculative fund position, and a lot of folks are saying that we should see some short covering come into play, you know, before much longer. And so if you could start to see some of that short covering come into play and us kind of break through some of these resistance levels that we've seen as of late, you know, it wouldn't hurt, especially if you were to see that short covering come into play here over the next couple, 3 weeks, and suddenly we start to discuss the production issues in South America and see China continue to import corn. I mean, we've had a lot of export sales announcements as of late, you know, talking about unknown, pointing towards unknown, which in the past in the markets has been China. You know, China's made it very clear they want to increase their ethanol usage. They're talking about, you know, that mandated 10% blend. We've seen Japan step in and actually start importing ethanol, you know, pretty reasonably here over the last month or so, because the Brazilian sugarcane ethanol has grown in cost, and our ethanol has become, you know, cost effective for them. So we've got some things. We've got a lot of things that are going on out there that you could say, hey, we could chew through some of these excess supplies of corn, you know, relatively quickly. So if we could see that short covering come in and folks start buying and suddenly get a little bit of incentive or a little bit of a kick in the pants in addition, you know, when it comes to a fundamental shift in the market, yeah, I mean, we definitely could see some upside. And you know, the hardest part is, though, is that any sort of significant or long-term rally in corn is going to encourage an increase in production. And then we're back to the drawing board, you know, a year from now, because obviously wheat acres are going to be down pretty substantially. You know, the talk there is that we could see a record low amount of winter wheat acres. And so that opens us up to what do those acres go to in the spring? You know, milo or sorghum really hasn't been convincing in that manner to get folks in the southern plains to really increase their planting there. Cotton, of course, hasn't been the greatest market either. You know, your pulses and lentils and other small grains haven't been overly conducive to profit in the northern plains. So, I mean, it's one of those things where with the depressed commodity side of things, you know, guys are going to lean towards planting corn or soybeans. So any sort of rally that we see could be somewhat short-lived in the sense that we start to discuss what that means for new crop production. But yeah, I mean, I would not be the least bit surprised by a bull run in the corn market that caught some folks flat-footed, you know, for sure, because everyone right now is treating corn like it's wheat, and, you know, they can give you a thousand reasons why it doesn't need to go higher, which tends to happen right before that market takes off.
I mean, you know, again, we've seen this movie before, and the markets are just dull and you know, not a lack of interest. And, of course, that's when, you know, the sellers try to come in, and of course, you usually see the turnaround. Now, when you talk about the other products, sorghum and lentil and other things and barley, I mean, those things are really not that hedgeable, so it's hard to want to really get involved in those because you really have no way to protect yourself, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, that and crop insurance-wise, I mean, the crop insurance options aren't the greatest for them either. So, you know, if you're already struggling with being profitable, the last thing you want to do is go out and take a chance on you know, more profitability. I mean, it's hard enough to be profitable with something that has a safety net underneath it. The last thing you want to do is go out and attempt, you know, let's see if this works kind of deal. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the other struggle is guys have grown accustomed to it. That and, you know, when prices were much, much higher, you saw a lot of operations change the way they were geared. So, you know, it's hard work to grow those small grains or those other specialty crops. So, you know, a lot of guys got accustomed to, you know, you put corn and beans in and that's what you do. So it's definitely something to be aware of, you know, and I'm not saying that because I think we have to be negative to price long-term or anything like that, but it is going to act as, you know, a bit of a resistance or ceiling to any sort of significant rally just until we get a feel for what we're looking at. And some folks will say, oh, well, you know, we could have planning delays or we could have this or we could have that. And, you know, to those people, I would say, you know, you've never really been in Iowa, have you? Because a planning delay is nearly impossible to see anymore just because guys are able to run 18 hours plus a day. I mean, it's amazing to me what they're able to accomplish. And, you know, all they need is a 3 or 4 day window and they'll figure out a way to get stuff in. You know, it may not be under ideal conditions like we saw this past year, but obviously they'll figure out a way to you know, perform or make production, you know, work in their favor in the long run.
Well, no, I mean, again, we talked about this before with the technology. I mean, you know, these big markets are going to be fewer and farther between just because there isn't the delays that come up anymore. The weather isn't as much of a factor as it has been in the past. We're not going to be short because we couldn't get it in the ground. You know, because basically, I mean, you know, you can do just about anything today, right? I mean, the equipment today is so phenomenal that you can basically run, you know, as you said, 18 hours a day. I mean, you could actually, listen, if you wanted to and you were a corporate farm, you might run 3 shifts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've known plenty of farms out there that have figured out ways to work 24 hours in a day when they've had to. You know, it's one of those things where we're not talking, you know, a lone farmer with a 4-row planter anymore. I mean, excuse me, these guys have out here this fall, you know, the fall wasn't the most perfect here in Iowa. It was kind of rough and they have to do fall field work, some tillage and things like that, putting on anhydrous. And, you know, they have 90-foot toolbars. So you look out, excuse me, at one of these pieces of equipment and, you know, it's wider than the jet we flew into Lansing on, you know, from wingtip to wingtip. Some of these pieces, they're just able to get across the field in a remarkable amount of time because they did invest in that and that has helped. And so, you know, but at the same time, you know, when we talk about this sort of thing, I think back to all of the arguments when oil was 20 bucks or wherever it bottomed out at as to why it needed to continue to go lower and it would never rally back. And, you know, we'd never see $40 oil again in some folks' lifetime and stuff like that. I mean, all of the argument was the same. We had too much. We were always going to have too much and we never had enough demand, you know, yada, yada, yada. Well, here we sit, you know, volatility has come back into that market and stuff like that. So, you know, we are still working to feed the world and things like that. So I have to remind myself of that. I'm saying that more for myself because it's very easy to get caught up in the, well, we have too much. We'll always have too much. You know, we're always going to be sad sort of deal. And you know, there'll obviously be some sort of reason that we'll see buyers return and then that'll give us some opportunity. It's just a matter of whether farmers are able to grab hold of it or not.
I mean, well, the big difference, and just to use your example of oil today, in oil, we have enough of our own oil. We don't need oil. We were held up by the Saudis and by OPEC back in the day because we chose not to produce our own oil because we felt it was cheaper to go ahead and buy it from them. Well, now, when the frackers came out, I mean, we basically in the United States of America have over a 200-year supply of oil without going into the environment. And I think that's one of the things that doesn't make sense about the price of oil right now. Because why is it so high? They've been trying to manipulate it for a year, and it's high, but it's certainly not as high as it could be, or it would be if we didn't have our own oil. And so I always find it funny, and that's kind of the markets versus anything else. I think that's the message you're trying to relay here, right? It's about the market. It doesn't matter. We don't know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's. I mean, you can sit here and say one thing on in the first week of December, and buy. You know, the middle of May, we could be talking a totally different market structure simply because things shifted. You know, you and I have talked about money flow in the past. I'm not going to say that that's impossible to see. You know, you could see some inflationary pressure come in or something happen that encourages the grain markets to move to the upside. So, you know, I never want to be entirely depressing. And like I said, I have to say these things to kind of remind myself of that because it's easy in these markets to get lulled to sleep. And you know, you and I have talked about it 1,000 times before. That's usually when the fireworks happen, is when no one, you know, when everyone's left the party sort of deal. And you know, looking at the fund, the speculative position that we have on in corn, that short there, and what we're seeing in wheat, you know, pretty much everyone has left the party. And it works. I mean, you can stay short forever in a market that's set up with carry because, you short the DEEST, and when it comes time to get out of that December position, you pocket 14 cents by rolling it to the March. And, you know, so you can maintain a short a hell of a lot easier than you can maintain a long in this market structure, you know. But at the same time, eventually you want to take your money and go home, too. And so, you know, if there's any sort of reason that's viewed as a buy, you know, buy, get out of it, let's move on sort of deal, then easily, you know, we could see this market kind of take off and give us some encouragement that we need, you know. And I'm talking specifically corn. I think beans are good. I mean, I think $10 beans are the equivalent to $4 corn for most folks. And you know, a lot of farmers are lamenting on the wide basis. Well, we have plenty of beans, and basis is a function of local supply and demand. And you know, that's not the fault of the market. I mean, you look at Nov 18 right now, they're 10/18 futures. You know, that's only 30 cents or so away from the high end of the market we saw this past year on Nov 17.
Right.
So there's plenty of opportunities available there for guys to be making money if they want to.
All right. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're with Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, and my friend. And of course, make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day. We're trying to get to 1 million downloads, so you better get there and start pushing those buttons. Turn those machines back on. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more from Angie after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. Okay, Angie, so now, obviously, you and I are both recommending people store, and I'm not going to go out, I'm not going to store and then go sell July and try to catch the carry. I'm storing because I think there's a much bigger move coming, and I'm not interested in that move. What are your thoughts on that, and what are your thoughts on the people that say, well, no, if you're going to store, you got to sell July or whatever? What do you think?
Yeah, no. I mean, this talk of carry, you can tell when there's absolutely nothing going on in the market because every broker out there is talking about selling carry. You got to sell the carry, which always blows my mind because on my CQG, if you want to capture carry, you have to buy. But anyway, you know, you have to buy the negative trade. But anyway, to me, a farmer that is unhedged, which most farmers are not 100% hedged. You know what I mean? A very, very small percentage, maybe, if that. I would venture 1% of farmers would be fully hedged in a market structure no matter what. So a farmer is a flat price. They're a cash trader. And that's what I always try to get through to folks is their only concern is really what their net price is going to be. Now, if you were hedged and you did have the intent of holding it out to out to June, then sure, go ahead, roll that spread out, capture that carry, sit back and wait for basis to firm. You know, and I do have customers that have done that. That spread got out to 30 cents or more, and it worked for them to do it. It made sense, and we did it. But my guys that are holding cash grain, you know, which is unhedged grain, are going to figure out how they need to move it. I mean, the first challenge, of course, is you have to figure out what your cash flow is. So you're holding grain, you know, until you have to sell it to turn it into cash. And so that's always, it's one of those conversations that I have to have with my farmers quite often is, you know, okay, you are storing this grain. What are you trying to accomplish? And if they're trying to accomplish, you know, 370, 380 or something like that corn, then we start to take a look at when that opportunity presents itself and what that means for time frame on movement. You know, of course, with beans back up above 10, they're able to generate some reasonably solid income that way. And some are. Some are jumping all over that. Others, you know, they'll say, oh, I want $10. And they get up that way. And suddenly it's 10.25. And, it, you know, that continues to kind of move. It's a moving target sort of deal. But yeah, if guys are holding grain, you know, like I said, the first thing they got to figure out is when do they need to turn that into cash? What does that mean for movement? And what kind of price targets are they looking for? You know, and then secondarily, you know, if they're unhedged, it's a cash rally. And a farmer mentioned that yesterday. You know, everyone had been pushing sell the carry, sell the carry, sell the carry sort of deal. And, you know, he said, if I had listened and I had sold the carry, what would that mean for me right now? You know, I'd have a short July position and the flat cash has moved enough to more than compensate that, not to mention, you know, the margin calls that I have in place in my below water hedges. So sometimes I think when it comes down to it, we have a lot of conversations out there, you know, held by folks that may not necessarily understand what the farmer's doing. And if you have unhedged bushels, you're a cash trader, plain and simple. That's it. And so that's what the farmers are need to be focusing on is what cash price they're looking to accomplish and how they're going to go about doing that.
Well, right, because again, if you're going to store, you're not storing it. I mean, most guys, it would cost them more than the carry to store this stuff, right? So, I mean, you're not storing to make 10 cents. I mean, that's just the way it goes. If you made the decision to store, that means that you're either underwater in what you own, or you don't need the money. You don't want to sell it. So, and you and I have talked about it, it's like a bank account. You put the money in the bank. It goes instead of the bank, it's a bin, right? And that's it. You hold on to it and wait. So we're not, you know, the farmers are not, even speculators are not looking to make 2 cents, right? They're looking to get the bigger hit, and that's the whole market behind it. And that's why I think we get misunderstood. And I think that's where a lot of farmers get misled by brokers out there that kind of teach them this stuff that doesn't make any sense. And that's not what they're in business for. I mean, these guys, you know, put together risk every year, right? I mean, you put $1 million at risk before you start. So they're not looking for $20, right? I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what we had a conversation. I had heard a market analyst come out and tell the farmer, you know, an unhedged farmer to go ahead and do that, sell the carry, you know? And I said, okay, well what's the farmer going to do with his long December position then? What does that mean? You know what I mean? Like so he shorts his, he has to, because to trade the spread, of course, you got to buy the D's and sell the July. So, you know, this was recommended in November. What does that mean in 2 weeks? Why would you add more confusion or make it even more complicated for a farmer? You know, he's not trading like an elevator. Now for an elevator, like I said, if you're hedged, that's when carry matters. You know, carry does encourage guys to put it in the bin, but they've got to figure out what they're looking to accomplish when they put it in the bin. And, you know, the one thing that I'm really struggling with right now, it's kind of funny to me, though, is that beans have rallied more than we've seen. You know, we see more upside in beans than we had all along. You've got 1040 on the July right now. My phone hasn't rang once for any of these guys to sell their beans out of their bin. You know, and so it's kind of like, okay, what are you trying to accomplish? We've seen basis firm 25, 30 cents. And that's part of the reason you put stuff in the bin is so you don't have to deliver into that harvest time plugged pipeline poor basis. And then we've seen that carry. So, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that just basis and spread wise have gained 45 cents, but flat cash wise have also gained substantially in this cash rally here, you know. So before they were selling, you know, you saw 985 November futures with an 85 under basis, so you're $9 cash. Now you're 1010 January futures with a 65 under basis. You know, so you've gained substantially, but I still don't have my phone ringing off the hook for farmers, you know, farmers looking to move stuff. But that's the intent of having, that's why you own bins and why you put grain in the bin is so you have these opportunities. But when it comes down to it, if you're not hedged, you're just a cash trader anyway, and the carry doesn't really matter. The carry matters for an elevator like me that, you know, I'll keep the grain out of the pipeline because I'm getting paid to hold it. But for a farmer, the carry is just another thing that's out there on the board that they can pay attention to if they want, but they're better off probably not wasting their time learning how to, you know, get overly involved in managing it.
Right, because that's what your job is. That's another job to do this, and that's why farmers should just get straight hedged and understand what their cost is and where they're hedged at, and not get involved in the day to day trading of the market, because the day to day trading of the market is a job, and that's why I think a lot of people have a problem. And I think that's the same as, you know, when I talk on TV and I go, well, you know, I'm not a buyer like feeder cattle. I'm not a buyer until 148. That's my number. That's what I saw. And we got close. I said, you know, and I said today, I said, look, I'm not a seller anymore, but I'm not necessarily a buyer yet. I still have some work to do on the downside, but I'm certainly not going to now, if I only think I got a dollar profit to make, I'm not going to go ahead and sell something that I got $10 risk in. Right. I mean, that's what the deal is.
Exactly.
And that's what you and I do, is to try to educate farmers and producers on how to take care, give themselves the best shot at taking care of it without having to do the work that goes with it. Cause it's not like you just decide, oh, okay, well, I'm going to hedge here. Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's really one of those things where, you have to understand what your role is in the market structure, and you do, you know, you are a trader. You're there to, like you said, you're not going to, gamble for a buck, you know, gamble, potentially face a $10 loss to gain a dollar profit. I mean, that's not your role. And farmers need to look at that too. You know, what are you gambling on? And that's my struggle right now is this past weekend, I said, you know, on TV, you know, if I were a farmer and I had grain in commercial storage, I'd be selling it. I'd be selling the heck right out of it, you know, because what are you looking to do? Like I said, with the beans, you've seen basis improvement, you've seen the carry gain, and you've seen futures rally. So you should be selling your beans. I mean, I just got done outlining how much money has been made in holding beans from harvest time delivery till now. And still we're struggling. Guys are focusing on, well, there's carry in the corn market.
We'll have to pick this up next time, my darling. This is Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains and the vice president of grains. This is other Angie, as always. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
I appreciate it. I always love being on.
Now, this is The Bubba Show, and you should love being on The Bubba Show. This is The Bubba Show with Todd Horowitz. And, of course, don't forget to check out patreon.com/BubbaTrading and help out high school investing, help out the kids of America. In the meantime, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And that'll do it for today. Our friend Angie Setzer was with us all day. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station on The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Good night, everybody. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.